Psalm 78, verse 9 through verse 11, there is a fountain. The children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. And they kept not the covenant of God and refused to walk in his law and forgot his works and his wonders that he had shewed them. And it came to me that it seems that we walk today as with but a shadow of God in our midst. It just seems that way to me. Maybe it doesn't to you. I've walked for a long time. We have a Bible and we read our Bible maybe. And we have a meeting and we have a prayer. And I'd ask, is that God? Is a belief, is that God, a belief? Is faith, is it just a thought? Are we not to know in whom that we have believed, and are we not to be persuaded? And as I see the times before us, and I know the times that have passed, where did God go? Where did he go? Or perhaps, better said, where did we go? In Romans chapter 1, verse 20, he said, "For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen." And they are. They're right before us. I sit and I ponder how a lizard's body works, a small lizard, or an insect, or a rhinoceros, or a human being, and how you can justify that just came to be, or that tree, or what I'm looking at now. They're clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. That's what he said. Look around. Even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they, or we, without excuse. How can anybody, you see, without excuse? I had a fellow over here yesterday, and we spent time with him, and he only believes in science. If it's not science, he doesn't believe it. So I think we can agree that you and I, we're without excuse. Peter said, I don't know if you remember, he said, we're kept by the power of God. And that the trial of our faith is more precious than gold. And so I ask, is our light so shining before men? It used to. I know that it did. I've been accused of being a Christian. And is there not an ample supply of oil in our lamp? You remember the parable of the 10 virgins. And so we're not to be as the foolish virgins. And we got a lamp. But is it shining? Has it got oil in it? And then I'd ask, is it so easy to shine day by day? Almost half the Psalms are Psalms of David. And if you read the Psalms of David, he had good days. He had bad days. He had days when he was real joyful and praised the Lord. And he had days when, God, you're just going to kill me. This is not a good deal. Days just like you and I have. And so we all suffer, excuse me, we all suffer days of darkness and days of light. And look what we're compassed about with today. Because we have something called media. And it's instantly before us. But I would tell you and ask you to hear me at this hour, and I think I can't think of anything that's more important, that there is still a fountain filled with blood. Of all the things, there's still a fountain filled with, again, if there's not, let's go home. And if I but believe in a dried blood long ago spilled into the earth, what have I but a dead religion? A history. A tale. If I be not sprinkled to an everlasting obedience, then I be none of his. That's just the way it is. I had a discussion with a man yesterday, a similar discussion. If I be not washed in such a crimson flow, how may I be found white as snow? How can that happen? By a dried substance in a dirt in a faraway place? And you've got to hear me. If God be real, and I'm his, then I am crucified with Christ. I am. I don't just say it because the Bible says it. I'm buried with him. I'm dead to sin. Free from sin. Walking in the flesh? No. But in the Spirit. The Spirit, you remember the Spirit. We've had it time to time. The Spirit. Are you a new creature? Are you an old creature? What are you? You know, if you're still in Romans 1, you can go over to Romans, my favorite chapter, Romans 8, verse 5. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. Well, of course. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. You mind things of the flesh or you mind things of the Spirit? And you got to be careful here. Like those in our text, not to fall back. Never to fall back, but to walk in the Spirit. Because you see in verse 6, he said, "For to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is what?" Do you remember? Life. And peace. Life and peace. We're surrounded daily by death. I mean, I can't read any news article. It's death. The headline, death. Death. We had a 15-year-old boy here locally. Committed suicide. 15 years old. Death. As never before. Death. I saw where three young girls, 12, 13 years old, they were 12 and 13 years old, they killed a 64-year-old man. Death. I saw this morning a daughter that looked a teenager, I think she was 13 or 14, stabbed her mother to death. Death. There's war and rumors of war and death. There's plagues. Death. As never before. Because the new, it's been there, but you see, we didn't know it, but the news today is instant. It's worldwide. So I know that this ship hits a bridge, and it's death. Well, it might, in days of yore, it might have been weeks or months, if ever, that you knew such a thing. You only knew of that which was in your circle, you might say. But today, it's worldwide. It's death, death, and more death. You shall not surely die. Oh, yeah, you will. And yet, the invisible, the visible and the invisible things that are ever before us, proof of God, do they turn to Christ for not death, but life? No. They blaspheme his name. They curse God to his face. They use his name in vain. They curse God and they die. Oh, but there is a fountain. There is a fountain. Those children of Ephraim, they were armed for the day of battle, but they turned back. They kept not the covenant, and they refused to walk in his law, and they forgot his works and his wonders. You know, Paul said, not looking back, but we are to look back. The whole, everything that I read in scriptures is there looking at, do you remember? They were for what? Our examples. All the way back 4,000 years to the Exodus. Our examples. The Red Sea, our example. The plagues of Egypt, our example. The burning bush, our example. David and Goliath, our example. Samson, our example. All the way up to the apostles and Christ, our example. Our examples, our examples are in our own midst. The tabernacle, the churches and the revivals that we've been through. Our examples, the people that we came across our examples. Wow, could we count the number that turned back? They kept not the covenant. But here we are this day. And Paul says in Ephesians 6:10, he says, and I like these words, but finally, brethren, but finally, you know, and then he goes on, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, principalities and powers and rulers and dark places, and we go through the armor, full armor of God. And God from a whirlwind. Do you think about that? When God came to Job at the end of all the chapters of Job, a whirlwind. Whoa. As Gomer would say, Shazam. A whirlwind. Gird up now thy loins like a man. I'll demand of thee. Paul tells Timothy, I charge thee before God. Timothy, his son in the Lord. I charge thee before God. And you remember what he told you? He said, preach the word. Preach the word, Timothy, and be instant. Don't water it down. Don't pull any punches. Be instant. In season, out of season. And why? He said, because the time's going to come. And boy, this struck me. I got up the other morning, and I'm laying in bed at 4 o'clock in the morning in the darkness, and this came to me. Like a flood, for the time will come. And now is. That they won't what? Endure sound doctrine. I had several comments on the message that I preached a few weeks ago or a couple weeks ago about the awfulness of the reign of sodomites in our midst, and changing the truth into a lie. And you go, wow, you really get loud. And I thought, oh, you should have been there in the past. That was nothing. And you should have heard the ones that I used to hear. You see, people talk about my voice. So when you see those things, changing the truth to a lie, changing the incorruptible into corruptness. Who could have ever imagined sodomites, not only in society, but in churches and in pulpits? And today they celebrate Ishtar, Easter, Estos, pagan holiday, and they're what do they call them? Trans, whatever. trans awareness. I don't know, some such thing. In the highest place in the land, sodomites, changing the glory of the uncorruptible God to that which is corrupt. First, they do it with Easter, because Easter isn't of God. I guess today's Easter. But it could be any time, because they base it on the sun, and it's pagan, and so whatever. Changing the uncorruptible to the corrupt. But I can't leave you there, because all is not lost, because if you listen, you can still hear the still small voice of God crying, there is a fountain. There is a fountain. And though afar off, it's yet very, very near. You go back to the book of Psalms. Go to Psalm 73. Verse 23 through the end of the chapter there. 23 through 28. This is a psalm of Asaph, by the way. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Amen. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there's none upon the earth that I desire beside thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all them that go a whoring from thee. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I've put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works. Oh, friend, there is a fountain. And if it not yet be filled with blood, I've no God and I've no religion. If there be no cleansing flood, I'd be dirty and lost, chaff before the flame, damned. The man that wrote the hymn, There Is a Fountain, I read a book on him many, many years ago, William Cowper. It's spelled Cowper, but it's Cooper, William Cowper. And he wrote this, There Is a Fountain, and he was one of the most depressed individuals I've ever read of. Perhaps David Brainerd would be in his category. They were very depressed, it seemed. And he got it. The text for that hymn is Jeremiah 13:1. There'll be a sprinkling of blood on the house of David. Interestingly enough, that hymn has been amended many times. They felt it was too strong. Too strong. Too morose, you see. As today, no blood. No blood. Oh, well, the blood, it just went into the dirt, and this by so-called great theologians, and the blood's not actually, you know. Do you remember what when Christ told them, they said, I'm paraphrasing, I'm going to the cross. And you remember Peter said, no, you know. And he said, get thee behind me, Satan. That's the way it is with the blood. If you deny the blood, get thee behind me, Satan. Cowper was very sullen, it said, in disposition. He attempted suicide 3 times. Became friends with John Newton, who wrote Amazing Grace. I'm certain that those at first churches couldn't imagine such a thing. This fellow who wrote a hymn that they used to sing, probably don't anymore, used to sing. attempted suicide 3 times. And the words to that particular hymn have been watered down as the gospel that is derived from. Those that are very popular on radio, and I know a lot of people that listen to them, and they've denigrated the living blood of our Savior and called it symbolism. And I've preached this many times. I didn't symbolically get born again. I don't know what you got, but there was nothing symbolic about it. A dried substance long ago trampled into the dust of Calvary? God forbid. If such were true, I'd ask, how shall a fountain be opened to the house of David? Jeremiah 13:1. How's a fountain going to be opened to the house of David? Or how be you washed? How did you get clean? Washed in what? Water at the back of the church? A river somewhere? If the fountain be empty and dry, how could it have been opened to you and I? If you look at our text, Psalm 78, and look at verse 19, yea, they spake against God. They said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Think about it. Can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Do you ask yourself such in the day of trouble? Can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Or do you not know emphatically that he not only can, but will and has many, many times? Do you not only know that though your sins were as scarlet, they were washed white as snow? And how did they get that way? Those who were his by royal decree. Now, in closing, if you turn to the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 10, at the end of the chapter, starting in verse 35 down through verse 39, he said, cast not away therefore your confidence. Amen. Here we are. I charge thee. You remember Paul? I charge thee, cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience. Oh, I'm usually a little short on that, sadly. That after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. Now, the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, you remember the Ephraimites, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we're not of them. Now get that. They stop preaching right there. But we're not of them. Oh, preacher, you better watch what you say. But I'm not of them. I'm not of them that fall back. And if I am, I've got to fall way back. I've got to get that thing right. Unto perdition. But of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Amen. Old friend. There is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And sinners, me, plunge beneath that flood. They lose all their guilty stains. Ask me how I know. Amen. Ask me how.